Amen. Please be seated. How many people sometimes really, really liked it when you would be in a classroom and the teacher would tell you, if you just listened a little bit, what was going to be on the test? Yeah, who likes that, right? They would tell you, the teacher would give you the answers to the questions if you just listened to the teacher. He was already explaining it to you. And what you had to do was listen and pay attention and not overthink it, but just hear what the teacher's saying. And I think that's where we pick up this morning in the gospel, because if you want to know the solution to a problem, listen to the gospel this morning, because Jesus says in the parable of the persistent widow, he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now, Jesus, Son of God, Son of the Father, second person of the Holy Trinity, is speaking things into the earth that we'll understand how the economy of heaven works. And he's given us the answer to things before we even go further. This parable is to teach the church, it's to teach the people of God, which goes along with a lot of the words we heard this morning, by the way, that the way the kingdom works is with persistent prayer. Why? That's not what's answered for us completely. But what we know is this, that he says to them, there was this widow, and of course, you know, you heard it read to you, but there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God, nor regard man. Sounds like he didn't think a lot about anybody. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she had no other plan but to keep going to that judge, because that was their only way to get her case heard, that she might get some justice. And so she kept going there to get justice. And she said, get justice for me from my adversary. And we have an adversary. He's named the devil. Get me justice from this. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. And God shall avenge his own elect who cry out day and night before him, though he bears with them to tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find real faith on the earth? He's telling us the answer to the problem. He's telling you that somehow you just start crying out before heaven and your voice gets heard. So we're going to talk about a couple of things this morning. We're going to talk in this high idea of persistent prayer. Jesus said, men ought to pray and not lose heart. So that losing heart thing, it means you're praying with faith. You're praying with persistence. You're praying believing that you're pushing something that's going to move. So the parable. Somehow, like I say, in the kingdom, persistency pays off. God's not wanting to just make us people that just bang on the door. He's not that judge that can't quite hear. He does hear things. But I don't think we understand how God works. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning with prayer. But he wants us to keep praying. And he says to us in another spot, he says, man, if you ask me for a loaf of bread, am I going to give you a stone? He says, I'm a good father. You've asked me for things, I'm going to give it. So if you're hitting on me with prayer and supplication for these things, I'm going to answer your prayers. Maybe not the way exactly you want them, but I'm going to answer them. So another place it said, you know, when the cries of Israel, I think about them being slaves in Egypt, and it says, when the cries of Israel came up before the Lord. There's this thing where the people of Israel, the community of Israel, the nation of Israel cries out, and God starts to hear that cry. He hears the cry of the widow. He hears the cry of the orphan. He hears the cry of the church. He hears the cry of the apostles. He hears the cry of the bishops. He hears the cry of the people. He hears our cry before him. And when it comes up, and I don't know why it works this way, but sometimes it just comes to a full place where it's our cry coming before him. And when it's our cry, when he hears these things, not that I want to in any way take away from his, you know, omnipotent ability to be all, or omnipresent ability to be all places at once. And it's not like he's got this big workload and that God finally gets a minute to look at our problem. It's not these kind of things which we like to put on God because we see it in people around us. That's not what I'm speaking of. And I'm not speaking like he doesn't pay attention to our littlest prayer, but there's this way that prayer works. And it's different than what we think. And he said, you know, that they arise before his throne. The scriptures report the prayers of his saints, his people, are like incense rising in the throne room. And he says that that incense is pleasant. It's pleasing to him. It's a sweet aroma, you know? It's a good aroma to the Lord. He likes the smell of that. He says there's these certain prayers, especially that are called imprecatory prayers. There's imprecatory psalms and imprecatory prayers. But some of the prayers, we're going, God, judge this situation now. Judge Planned Parenthood right now. You know? Don't wait. And what he does is he takes the prayers of his bishops and his church together, and they're coming up before him. And it says what happens there is he takes those prayers and he puts them onto the altar of incense. You know, by the way, I think that's where John the Baptist's father was ministering when that word came to him, in the temple. But nonetheless, he takes those prayers and he puts them upon the altar of incense, and then he says the angels dump them back out on the earth, those hot coals. You ever heard that in the scripture where it says, you know, if you pray for your enemies, it's like what? Pouring hot coals on their head. Why? Because God's trying to deal with a situation in your life. Now, before you pray major imprecatory prayers, we need to understand prayer a little bit, but it is one of the types of prayers that we pray. So, I want to just remind you that what happens is the way that God answers most prayers in our lives, the number one way that he usually prays or that he usually answers is the church. You know, God, if you're crying out in the middle of somewhere and you don't have enough and you don't have this and you're lost and you're feeling depressed and you're discouraged and maybe even suicidal or you're broken or you don't have any money or you're addicted or you're whatever you are and you start crying out, guess where God's taking you? He's taking you to the church. That's his answer. His answer is the church. It's my people, my body. Why? Because this is where I poured out my spirit, and this is how I want to see you come into healing and knowledge and baptism and sacraments and all the things that I have for you to live out a life. It is not a lone ranger, you know, I'm just going to give you everything you want and leave you out there by yourself. The answer is the church. And if we listen, God will speak through the church. And what happens is he draws us into that. So kind of the picture of that, if you can, is Isaiah 6. If you remember that, there's this great time in the life of Isaiah where King Uzziah had died. And he was really kind of a hero of Isaiah. And as it said in Isaiah 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord in the midst of my grief, in the midst of my trial, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. I saw the Lord, and it said the train of his robe filled the temple. Right? Then what happens is he begins to realize that there's these prayers coming up before God, and that what God's doing is speaking in the throne room, and he's saying, whom shall I send? See, the prayer came up, and God's answer is, I'm going to send somebody. And he says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah's prophetically hearing into the throne room, and he's saying, here I am, send me. And God's answer was to send Isaiah to his people. Isaiah was going to prophesy to a long period of time to his renegade, broken, rebellious people. God, people were crying out. And his answer was, it was going to get hard. His answer was, I've got to deal with this situation. But he sent Isaiah. Isaiah said, I'll go, and he went. That's one picture of the way God answers prayer. In Daniel 9, Daniel's sort of in another way, and we can see that too. I'm not going to read all of it to you. But he was looking, he says, Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make a request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. In other words, when I came before the Lord, I come with prayer. I came with supplication. I'm going to ask him something. But I came with fasting before him. I came with ashes and sackcloth. I came not as the one just saying flippantly, God, I need this to happen in my life, but God, I don't have another plan unless you move. And as Daniel does this, he prays. And if we were to read the rest of the chapter, kind of what happens is the answer to Daniel's prayer in that time was to send the archangel Gabriel to Daniel. I got to send Gabriel the archangel. That's the answer to this prayer. Daniel's praying as a prophet of the nation of Israel, and he's praying in this place. He's praying in this captive place, and he's been in this warfare, and he goes and prays. Well, the answer comes 3 weeks later from the archangel Gabriel. Gabriel's going to show up, and when he comes, he said, I heard the prayer. I heard the request of God to come to you the first day that it was said. But it took 3 weeks because I had to wait until Michael, the archangel, I was in battle with the prince of Persia, with this principality, this demon, and I was in battle with him, and until Michael could come and relieve me at that place, I couldn't come and do the bidding of the Lord. So I had to wait for 3 weeks. It took 21 days of fasting and praying on Daniel's part for that to move, because the answer had an angelic answer with it that had to be moved before that could come into place. You start to see prayer differently, right? You start to see the prayer that we ask these prayers, and God's answers has to move spiritual warfare. It has to move mountains. It has to move angels. It has to move people. And that there has to be time for them. And sometimes they get the word that they're supposed to go, and they hold back on their part, and God has to reload and send someone else and do it a different way. And these things happen. And so when Jesus says be persistent, it's because there's a lot going on in the answer. Sometimes when we pray that God's just waving a wand and it's all happening that way. He set up this whole economy. He works through men and women. He works through angels. He works through circumstance. Sometimes he has to bring the circumstance around to answer the prayer. Sometimes he's answering the prayer much faster than we realize, and we don't see it because we want it our way. You're crying out for your loved one, and God's starting to wreck their life. You know? And you start to go, oh, stop, God, stop. Make that storm stop. Because you don't recognize that the storm is the actual answer to your prayer. That God's come with a storm to break up what's normal so that they become new, that they fall on their faces before God, and God moves in their life. It's really hard to see when you're in the storm. That's people around you, that when you pray, when you're crying out to God, you've got people around you that are mature in the church that are going, okay, pray this, but not that. You know, like Archbishop Jones has said a number of times that God's come to bring some judgment in America on some things. And he says what happens is he brings a storm, sometimes a physical storm, and all the Christians start praying off the storm. But the storm was actually because he was trying to minister to a broken nation. But we can't see things that way. Of course we don't love a major tidal wave hitting the earth, or we don't like these things to happen, but have we prayed and discerned what the church is crying out for? And so, Jesus tells us to be this persistent in prayer. He says, you might not understand how it works here on earth, but let me just tell you, here's the answer to your question. Here's your homework answer. Pray with persistence. Keep crying out. Keep being before him. Keep crying this prayer. Because somehow in the work of God, it's not like he just keeps getting bugged until he does it. But somehow that prayer, you don't know that that doesn't load another area of the wall. It doesn't, that prayer that you did the second time and the third time and you pushed wasn't actually freeing someone else so they could be free to be the answer that God wanted them to the prayer that you're praying or to the church is praying. And so, you know, these are the things that we need to understand in the kingdom, because it was kind of like the word to Caleb and Avery and Liz and a bunch of people tagged on was even with the praise. You know, I thought I was done playing drums. I thought we'd done all the warfare we were supposed to do, and God wasn't quite done. Sometimes we see it as we quit right before it's done, or we just stop. And I can get guilty of that. Everybody can. We get to that place where we've, you know, put in hours and hours. I've sometimes been in exorcisms for 10 or 12 hours, and I probably maybe should have stayed even longer. Sometimes you feel like you come to the end, you know, and you just, it's all you're going to get done today. You know, there's times where we're pushing through with something. We gave a warning a couple of weeks ago. We said, hey, this church is under a high level of attack right now because we're trying to move forward. And because there's a lot of things happening. Well, I can tell you, the things we fasted and prayed about, God moved forward, the things that needed to move forward. There's a movement in the kingdom. You could hear it in the patriarch's voice. You could hear it last week if you were here. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can hear there's something moving. So, the last thing I want to talk about, because we've talked about that parable in some regard, and we've also talked about how prayer works, but I want to tell you that I think that one of the things that we need to do better as the church is that we need to learn that prayer is not just defense. Prayer is not something we do just when we're under attack and when things are going hard or we're just scared that it's going to get worse or it's dark or it's fuzzy out there. I'm telling you that if you could see the kingdom of darkness looking upon this church, they're terrified. They're terrified that we'll come out of the building and be who we're to be. They're terrified of the power that's been placed in you and the treasure that's been placed in you. They're terrified of what if this activates. Prayer needs to be tremendously more. Yes, we need defense. But see, if I'm really at peace sitting at a table with my enemies all around me, I'm not the one that's worrying. I'm eating dinner. They're doing little woof. They're howling and barking. But they're scared that I'm coming out there. Not that they're coming here. I know the shepherd I sit with. We got to get to that place where we've had our meal. And the deacon gives us the bidding. And he says, go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Take the power of the Spirit out into the street and do not be afraid of those who walk in the darkness, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and that doesn't mean gates of hell don't move toward the church. The church moves toward the gates of hell. You want to know what gates of hell look like right now? Gates of hell are shootings in schools. That's a gate of hell open right now. Abortion is a gate of hell that's open right now. They're wide gates in our country. Abortion is a holocaust that we're sitting here looking at like it's a medical thing. Most of the political people that are running right now are saying that they believe in late-term abortion, which means right when the baby's born, you can tell me how that's preserving any woman's life. See, it's a battle. It's an antichrist battle. We walk in the midst of people confused about their gender. That all sexuality is the same. Not the way God made you, not the way to multiply, not the way to be husband and wife, but that you create some other plan, no matter what it is, perverse and stupid it is, and that that's supposed to be equal with the God. That's a hell. You understand? When the church can't pray, when the church can't mention the name of Jesus in a public place, that's that spirit of Antichrist that's coming against the church. So what we need to understand is the enemy, I'm not afraid of what they're thinking. They're in desperate need for the church to be the church. The enemies, as it said, it's not flesh and blood that's our enemies. It's principalities and powers. There's demonic forces that don't want the church to go outward, that don't want the church to speak the truth, that don't want the light. They want to bring darkness and not light. They want to bring despair, and they want to kill, steal, and destroy. And the church has to be persistent in prayer. So part of evangelism, part of a convergence evangelism, is to absolutely arm ourselves and know that if we see a situation where we feel the Holy Spirit wants to move there, we begin banging it with prayer. We just start nailing it with prayer, And then we walk through that situation and watch God open doors that were shut. Watch God open ears that were closed. Watch God change lives. He's working these things for our good. And we have to realize, like David, how dare they defy the army of the living God? How dare they come up? They're just an uncircumcised Philistine. I don't care how big they are. They're just a 9-foot dying Philistine. You understand? It's a spiritual thing. Don't be afraid of darkness. I can tell you one of their big tricks right now is political correctness. Just throw that down. I don't mean go be a bigot. I don't mean talk nastily when you don't have to. But don't be afraid of that spirit. And go out and pray into that situation. You want to see something change in your government? Pray it in. You want to see something change in your community? Pray it in. And start to gather other people that are like-minded to pray with you. And start to pray until you see it move. And keep praying until it moves. And then when it moves, go cut its head off. Destroy the roots. Just kill it. See, what we see in the Old Testament as warfare is what the spiritual warfare should look. We don't want to leave the roots of it. We don't want to leave it to come back into the next generation or come back up or be to raise itself up. You know, I hope that when abortion is not only illegal in this country, but there's a country that's repented of it, I hope we leave some Planned Parenthoods around just to remind ourselves, like Auschwitz, you know, how many lives were taken here. Just fight the fight. It's life. It's not a political opinion. When you're a Christian, when you're infilled with the God, the Holy Spirit, you take up His cause, not your cause. You're His mouthpiece. And so half the time, I think the church is waiting for someone else to be the answer when the answer is among us. Now, we need to hear that and discern it together, but I'm telling you, I want you to take this homework assignment that Jesus said He gave you the answer to, and He's asking one question at the end. He said, all this is going to happen. I'll read it to you in His own words because I don't want to mince it at all for you. He said these things. He said, God avenge His own elect who cry out day and night before Him, though He bears long with them. If I tell you that He will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? The question to God is not, will God be God and will God answer prayer? The question is, will God's people be faithful? And that's the thing we need to hear. That's the thing we need to roll with. You know what? It's just the devil. It's just the devil. God's got a great plan for His future. It's a pit. It's a pit. And He knows it. And He knows His time is short. And He's angry at the church. And I just say, bring it. Go. Take it to Him. Take the battle to Him. Sometimes I think, you know, if we were to go outward, we'd have less battle in our own homes. Sometimes we let the enemy define where he's fighting. You know, you don't let the enemy pick your battleground. If you're having a lot of turmoil in your homes, maybe it's because you're not out and the battles come to your house. You want to fight lawn or his lawn, you know? We got to take it out to there and we got to keep moving. And I'm just telling you, if you want to overcome, then you know, just try to move out in this and believe God for that. Would you do it? You start to do it circumspectly. You start to do it with crossfire and you start to pray this way. I'm just so thankful for the words of God because it's a challenge to us. But it's not only that, it's a weapon to us and it's an offensive call to battle for the church. Not to just wait till the enemy's pounding on the doors trying to kill us. Why don't we just go out and take it to Him? Why are we sitting in the trenches? He's the one who should be afraid. A third of the angels fell. 2/3 remained. He's already at a 2-1 loss. The saints in heaven are praying with us. Nobody in hell's doing any good. You understand? The church has Jesus Christ. The church can walk into the throne room of God. The church has the Spirit of God. What are we afraid of? Let's go. Let's pray. Father, we praise You this morning that we're in that place of calling upon Your name. And I just pray right now in this season of darkness, this season the enemy ceases, this time he likes to call Halloween and get everybody to dress up in fear and put on and other religions. God, I pray that your church would take this challenge between now and All Saints Day and go out and bring people to Christ. Just start praying and asking them and driving them in and showing them the way. God, this church is hidden from them. And these folks have the way here. Because you're the way, the truth, and the life. And I just pray that the church would rise up with resolution and not be afraid. And that we would see many giants fall to the glory of your name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.